Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Those people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Today we're asking 100 Christian students why they're Christian. Why are you a Christian?
Wow, yeah. I'm a Christian because...
Oh, that's a tough one. Oh.
I think there's definitely a turning point for me.
That question is... It actually caused a lot of conviction to come up.
And each time, the stories get more powerful.
Do they? This is Wretched Radio. No, I'm not condemning anybody to hell as if I have the authority or ability to do that. We are going to assume that all of the kids that you're about to hear who were asked a very simple question, and it is a simple question. Why are you a Christian? We should be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. Just bing, right there. You ask, boom, I give it to you right there because this is the foundation of our faith. Why are you a Christian? This should be on the tip of the tongue of every born-again believer. But what you're going to hear, in my opinion, are students that we are going to assume are saved. They simply don't have the ability to articulate the reason for the hope that lies within them. And this ought not to be. I believe this is one of the current scourges in evangelical Christianity because we so obfuscate the gospel. We don't regularly preach it or teach it. In its judicial nature, that the gospel is about being saved from the wrath that is to come. Instead, we have cliches all over the place and explanations on how you become a Christian and what you should say and what prayer you should utter. And I think there is a massive amount of confusion in evangelical Christianity, and I think that we're going to hear that right now. Again, this is not to hack on these students. They simply represent what I believe is a pandemic in evangelical Christianity, and that is the inability to articulate the reason for the hope that lies within them.
Why are you a Christian?
Oh, well, Jesus saved my life. I almost wasn't here anymore, and Jesus gave me hope in the future.
I'm sure that happened, but that was not the answer to the question. Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Why are you a Christian? Why do you believe the Bible is reliable? So all of these answers, it's like they're fine. What I'm suggesting is we got to stop letting this stuff go. We've got to stop with the ambivalence. We've got to start being more articulate with the gospel. Listen to these answers and ask yourself the question as you hear them. Is that why somebody should become a Christian? So listen and ask yourself this question this way. If I were an unbeliever and I heard this person's testimony, because that's basically what we're hearing here, would that persuade me to become a Christian? Would that give me enough information to become a Christian?
Honestly, I encountered the Lord at a young age and I grew up in church. He just touched my heart from a young age.
Before the story started getting stronger, we heard some answers we already expected.
As I grew up in a faith-centered house with wonderful, loving parents that taught me about the word and how to be a good Christian.
Ooh, that's a great question. Well, I grew up in the faith and I have seen the Lord work in my life. And for me, when I look back on my life and I just see what the Lord has done, it encourages me and it really fuels my faith.
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, I think that it started with my parents being Christians and raising me up in that environment, but I think the reason why we stayed Christians, or my family and me specifically, would be because it brings you hope and it gives you a purpose outside of what we can provide ourselves as humans.
Is that true? Do we get a hope? A purpose that lies outside of our grasp if it were not for Jesus Christ? Yes, it is. Is that why you should become a Christian? No, it isn't. This would be a demonstration of an individual who is proclaiming the benefits of the gospel, but not the gospel itself. This is what I got out of Christianity. I got hope. Therefore, you should believe in Jesus. Is that why you should believe in Jesus? And the answer is, no, not exactly. Does that come with the package? Yes. But the question is still being begged, and I'm not talking about Alistair. It is not being answered, at least not yet.
Some had other reasons.
In my personal life, I've seen the impact that a relationship with Jesus has on my life, and so I know it to be true.
Because I saw how it changes the lives of others, and I wanted Jesus to change my life like that.
Again, these are nice kids. I'm going to trust that they're genuine believers. I really hope that. But is that why somebody should become a Christian? Hey, become a Christian, you'll see him working in your life. That's not the gospel.
I really love loving people, loving my neighbors, even my enemies. And that's why I'm a Christian.
I've seen how the world doesn't satisfy me at all. And the only thing that's ever satisfied is Jesus. And
that's, you've got a God-shaped hole in your heart that only Jesus can fill. Is that why somebody should believe in the gospel? Because you need heart surgery. Well, not, you do need heart surgery, but you just don't need putty put in there. You need a heart transplant.
Now he's my everything.
Well, some people talk about evidence.
Because based on the evidence I've seen, Jesus' arrival in the Bible is the best thing to follow if you want to lead a good life.
It's just okay. Hey. That's not bad. That's getting better. That's okay. I've seen the evidence. Why do I believe in Jesus Christ? Okay. I would suggest take believing the evidence and you could refine that a little bit more. I believe in the Bible. I believe in Jesus because it's true. Now that's a simple answer. Now, if you want to make that a more complicated answer, you could do what Vodi Bakum does with that question.
I choose to believe the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They report to us supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin.
Got it? Let's go back to the Christian campus.
It's evident, so evident in the world around me. And, you know, I just think it's the only logical conclusion.
Okay, that is true. But that is not an articulation of why I believe in Jesus Christ.
It's, you know, just like the evidence that he's, the things that he's done in my life, you know, just where I was and where I am now, you know, just helping me find purpose, identity, and, you know, shelter. So I think that's the reason why, yeah.
He's provided all of those things. Is that why somebody should believe in Jesus? Incidentally, may I ask, have you heard anything about that the reality of God's existence? Have you heard anything about somebody experiencing conviction of sin, feeling shame and guilt? Have you heard anybody yet explain that Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man, and his mission was to come to die to be the propitiation for sinners? And he died and he rose again. And I believe it because it's true. Have we heard anything close to that? Again, this is not to just trash these kids. I get it. What I'm encouraging is, we got to be ready. That we're commanded for that. Be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
I believe in Christianity scientifically, which causes me to have a much stronger relationship with Christ because I want to understand him and then grow in personal relationship with him.
And other students talked about eternal life.
Because I don't want to die and have like nothing. So to have.
That's a common answer. And I get that. Should somebody become a Christian because they don't want to go to hell? Well, I think that's obvious and natural, but that isn't the primary reason. There's a massive distinction between becoming a Christian so you don't go to hell and becoming a Christian because you get to be united with the one who is so kind and loving that he died to save you from hell. That's a big difference.
Future.
You know, I kind of want to spend eternity with God.
The everlasting love.
Okay, by the way, I want to spend eternity with God. All right, now I get that. You're a Christian because you want to spend eternity with God. And notably, there isn't like the right answer every single time, the perfect answer. But I think that sentiment was a little bit better. I want to be with God. Isn't that what Christianity, and you get to be because of Jesus Christ.
The future.
You know, I kind of want to spend eternity with God.
The everlasting love that's within him.
He died on the cross for my sins, and I'm just so eternally grateful.
There you go. There you go. I believe in Jesus because he died. Okay, that was number 49 out of 100. Number 49 out of 100. The rest, trusting that they're saved, simply did not articulate a valid reason for the, okay, maybe a couple now so far. So what are we at here? About 4%?
Because I love Jesus and he's changed my life.
Why are you a Christian?
It's a dog.
But then the story started to get more powerful.
Are you?
Well, we'll see and we'll hope for that, won't we? It's my hope that this review of these students, we're going to get to number 51. I hope that you're not hearing that, well, that's being nitpicky. This is the foundation of our faith. This is 101. This isn't like asking, tell me, what is your understanding of the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ? We're not talking about complicated theology. We're talking about the basic, the very basic. And if nothing else, this exercise would be good for all of us in that we get better at sharpening our understanding of why we believe what we believe, and to make sure our kids understand the gospel. This is Wretched Radio.
Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. Our resource, Terrified Too, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and he actually gave us the tools to obey it. Terrified Too, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org. As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. Life is Best, all 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. It's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. A Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Busnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nyssa was an opponent of Arianism at the Council of Constantinople in 381. He wrote a book called Not Three Gods, explaining that there is one God in three persons. Each member of the Trinity is fully God, with all the divine attributes, yet each member of the Trinity is a distinct person. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I choose to believe the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They report to us supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin.
Well, that'll do it right there. This is Wretched Radio. Do your kids have the ability to articulate the gospel? Do you and I have the ability to articulate the gospel? If in somebody approached you with a microphone, put it in your face and said, why are you a Christian? Would you be prepared to give a reason for the hope that lies within you? Would you be ready to take advantage of that opportunity? Would you give them enough information that they would understand the gospel and its reliability? A number of years ago, okay, it wasn't that many years ago, I was at Kennesaw State University. And the number of kids that I bump into on university campuses, especially in the South, they claim to be Christians. When I ask them, what's the gospel? They have no idea. Well, there was a group of young people out at the Kennesaw State University campus on the Village Green. I had talked to them. They seemed like they were studying their Bible. They were sharp theologically, and so I wanted to do a little bit of a test. Would they have the ability to articulate the gospel, or are we just asking too much of young people? In the Bible Belt, it is not uncommon to bump into a professing Christian, but when asked to articulate their faith, the details tend to be a little bit fuzzy. Should we lower the bar? Should our expectation for our youth be so low that they can't even explain what the gospel is? This is going to be a test. All right, who's my first? My first guinea pig. My first person. Watch your step. There's a bit of a pothole there. I think it has to do with global warming. What's your name?
Emily Berquist.
Emily, are you a Christian?
Yes, sir.
I just approached you. I have a knife in my back. I'm bleeding out. I've got 30 seconds to live. I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Go.
Well, you have to understand that Jesus loves you, but we're sinners. And so we're eternally separated from God. But he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. And it wiped away all our sins. He took all our sins. And now he's up in heaven. And the only thing you have to do is you have to profess your faith, confess your sin, and believe in Jesus. Love him with all your heart.
You've got 8 seconds. Anything you want to know? That was excellent. Thank you very much. Well done.
Have a great day.
Don't tell. There'll be no cheating here at the university. All right, who's next? All righty then. This kid, he's going to do fine. He's got Bible verses on his t-shirt. All right, young man, what's your name?
My name is Justin.
Justin, I just approached you.
Yes.
I've got a knife in my back. I'm going down. I can tell. It's getting fuzzy. Yeah. I've got 30 seconds to live. I understand you're a Christian. What must I do to inherit eternal life?
Okay, so first, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent turns towards God from your sin and placing your faith in the sinless life that Christ lived, his substitutionary death on the cross, taking the wrath of God for our sin in our place. When I place my faith in him, God imputes the righteousness of Christ to me, and his blood covers all my sins. And then 3 days later, Christ rose from the dead. He defeated death. God vindicated him for our justification. And when I place my faith in him, he gives me eternal life as a gift.
Dude, you nailed it. That's a little different, isn't it, than what we're hearing? Now, I grant you, it's a slightly different question, but nevertheless, there's a difference. The core of the gospel, it must include a recognition God exists. We have to explain his character and nature. We have to explain our character and nature, what God should do to us, what he has done for us, and what I must do in response to it. That is an articulation of all of the necessary information so that somebody can actually go, okay, I get it. I understand what Christianity is, and I understand why you're a Christian. You believe in Jesus Christ because it's true. You believe in Jesus Christ because it is intuitive and obvious that God exists. It is intuitive and obvious that we have a really big problem with God because we sin so much, and my conscience bears witness to that fact. We also know that there was a man who actually lived. His name is Jesus Christ. He flipped the calendar. He lived a perfect life of righteousness. Why? Because he was the God-man, fully God, fully man, who came to die for sinners, to receive the punishment that we deserve for our sin-breaking, so that we can be reconciled to God. That is the core of Christianity, and I believe it because it is true. Let's go back to Kennesaw for a moment.
Don't tell anybody. Would you go grab the next... Did he use the word imputed? Justified? Maybe the bar doesn't need to be as low as we think.
Hi. How are you? Get over here. 10 days. What does that stand for?
It is a mission organization.
It is.
Yeah, it's by a ministry called Every Nation.
I'm so glad that I bumped into you. You see, I've got a knife in my back. I'm going down. Things are getting a little bit cloudy for me. I think I've got 30 seconds to live. What must I do to inherit eternal life?
You have to repent and put your trust in Christ, which means so Christ came down to this earth. He died for our sins. We were both worthy of hell. We deserve hell. But because of his sacrifice, we were able to have eternity with our Father. And so we have to repent, which means turn from our sin and put our trust in him. Same way we would trust a parachute. It's not just kind of trusting him from the side, but we cling to him for life.
That's the gospel. Now let's go back to the other Christian university. Here's the promise. In interviewing 100 students, asking them, why are you a Christian? This young lady claims the story started out like, okay, but then they got more powerful. This is number 51.
A Christian.
I'm a Christian because when I was at my lowest, he picked me up. I was nothing and he turned me into something. I was addicted to a lot of things, including meaningless relationship. But he filled that hole with something else, with his love. And that's...
This is nice, but I'm asking you again, is that why we believe in Jesus Christ? Is that the gospel?
I'm a Christian.
Well, years ago, I had really bad depression. I'd grown up in a Christian family, and I don't know, I just like always heard about God, but I didn't have a relationship with him. So it just made me want to dig deeper. And I was like, God, like, if you're not real, then I don't want to live this life. And so the Bible says, when you search me with your whole heart, you'll find me. And I found him. And I was not met empty at all.
Wow. Why am I a Christian? Jesus saved my life, literally. I literally had debilitating anxiety. I lost my job. I literally could not get up. And it was through a series of events that just brought me to my knees. And I got to ask the question, like, why is this happening to me? Like, you know, what did I do to deserve this? And it was through asking those questions that I got to find Jesus. And he completely changed my life. And here I am in grad school.
Good for you. I'm really glad she's doing great. Is that the gospel? It's not. Now, these stories, these details, I don't doubt them for a second, but this is like asking somebody the most foundational aspect of any corporate enterprise, any sort of business sector, any worldview. This is the entry level stuff. This is entry level stuff. To perhaps be ridiculous, but hopefully bring some clarification to this. Why do you like eating popcorn? Todd, why do you like eating popcorn? Well, because when I'm on the couch, it gives me something to do. Okay, I'm sure it does. But why do I like popcorn? It's because it tastes delicious, especially with a lot of butter and salt. My point is, as lame as that illustration was, we should be able to articulate the very basics of the faith when somebody asks us.
Which is crazy.
That question is, it actually caused a lot of conviction to come up. But why am I a Christian is because when I was at my darkest moment in life, suicidal, lack of identity, confused in my sexuality, I was by myself. I was lost. And when Christ found me, I had to ever help. He never gave up on me. He kept showing me that he cared for me and that I can trust him with my life. And so when I gave my life to him, it didn't all change in one day, but he has been so faithful and so consistent and so loving that my yes is everything. So that's why I'm a Christian, because he loves me so much.
Now, that was a good answer right at the end there. I believe in Jesus because he loves me so much. Now, obviously, that can be painted out, but that's at least on the path. That's at least giving a reason that is grounded in the character and nature of God, who he is, who we are, what he has done for us. Now, that apparently was number 60-some in this montage from the Christian University. Again, please note, we are not doubting the salvation of these young people. They've probably never been challenged to articulate it. They've maybe never even been asked this question, which would be a shocker, because if you got a youth group program going on, this should be something that is being taught, frankly, pretty much every single time you are with the kids. Why are you a Christian? Are you able to give a reason for the hope that lies within you? If not, sharpen it up, practice it, rehearse it, and make sure your kids are able to do the same. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.